This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. We praise him subhanahu wa ta'ala, the king, the master, the sustainer, the creator of the seven heavens and the earth, and we send peace and blessings upon his beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we wanted to try something a little bit different and just give some general advice about da'wah and how to give it, the do's and the don'ts. Nothing in specific, but just common things that come to my mind, inshallah, so that we can all benefit. Inshallah ta'ala, we can use to call as many people as we can to the deen. I think it's important that we all remember that the greatest job anyone can ever do is the job of the Anbiya. And every single prophet, every single messenger was a da'i, someone that calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you could be the greatest abid, you could be someone who memorizes Quran, you could be someone who prays tahajjud all night, you could be someone who gives so much money in charity, and that's a beautiful thing, that's a very important thing. But all of your a'mal cannot be compared to the person that calls other people to Allah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And who is better in speech, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and who is better in speech, more or less, than the one that calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes when you really think about it, this is pretty deep. Why? Because you could be a professor, you could have a PhD, you could be a full-blown scholar who gives talks and lectures in universities and you're world-renowned, but you don't call to Allah. And this person can be compared to someone who's a very simple man, maybe doesn't have a lot of education, maybe doesn't stand very high as far as status is concerned in the community. But this person calls to Allah, this person is greater than the professor in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can talk for hours and hours and hours, but if all of your talk had nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one man, it could be a little boy, stood up and said, "Fear Allah," those three words, those two words, are far greater than the 3 hours that you spoke. Da'wah is the greatest thing you can ever do. And alhamdulillah, yani I was told that there's a lot of da'is here today, mashallah. There's a lot of young brothers that are active in giving da'wah in this country and in this community. And this is important. We need this. We need a lot of, you know, I hate using the term young people, because every Muslim is a da'i. Every single Muslim is a da'i. The Prophet of Allah, he says something amazing. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, "Ballighu anni walau ayah," convey the message about me. Share whatever you know about me, even if it's one verse. Many of us tend to think that da'wah is for ulama and scholars and mashayikh. This is so far from the truth. Today we've made da'wah like this exclusive job that only certain people can do. No, you're very wrong. Da'wah is to anyone and everyone. And sometimes we do face these troubles, and I hope I can shed some light on it. Because today we have this culture that if you don't have knowledge, you shouldn't speak. That someone needs to go sit, do a course, that someone needs to have knowledge before he goes out and gives da'wah. While it sounds okay on the outside, I don't entirely believe it. Because really, what are we saying? You've made da'wah to be this exclusive thing that only certain people can do. No. Anyone can give da'wah. Anyone can call to Allah. Anyone can remind one another that, hey, death is around the corner. That, hey, you and I might die at any moment. That, ya akhi, my brother, my sister, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't need to be a scholar to say these things. And that's da'wah. Again, you know, we always try to make it out that da'wah is this you have to be, you know, a scholar, and you have to have had sat down for courses. Yes, of course, this helps. This assists your dawah. It gives you material. It gives you, you know, it gives you ammunition, if you like, to sort of give out there. But it's definitely not a requirement. And I always like to use this example. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he received revelation, and he went to Abu Bakr and he told him, and Abu Bakr accepted Islam. The very next day, Abu Bakr went and grabbed six people. He gave da'wah to six people and they accepted Islam. And these six turned out to be from the 10 Mubashirin. But I want to ask you, when Abu Bakr went to these six, what da'wah, what knowledge did he have? There was no Quran yet. There was no fiqh yet. There was no aqidah courses yet. There was nothing. When he went to the six, what knowledge did he give them? Other than that, there's only one Allah, which is of course the essence of everything, tawheed, and that's the absolute aqidah, that there is only one Allah, yeah? He said to them, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And six accepted Islam. So sometimes we try to make da'wah to be this. No, anyone can talk about deen. Now, yes, what we do need to highlight so we don't fall into danger is never talk about things you have no knowledge of. This I definitely agree with. And that's the danger. If you don't have knowledge about something, don't talk about it. If you don't have, no matter how much you're cornered, no matter how much you find yourself in a sticky situation, because sometimes, you know, when you become a da'i, you unknowingly become a sheikh and you don't realize it. And that's a really big danger sometimes. So sometimes you find yourself, you put in a corner, you asked something, you have no knowledge, but you feel like, look, I've gone too deep, I can't back out now. And that's the problem. While yes, you don't need knowledge to speak about deen, if everyone spoke about what he knows, there's no harm in that. But to speak about things you have no knowledge of, this is the danger. So sometimes brothers told me, you know, okay, I'm happy to give da'wah, but what happens when someone asks me something that I don't know? And subhanAllah, you know what? Our Prophet left nothing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught you everything. What's the sunnah? When you don't know something and someone asks you, what's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Does anyone know? I don't know. That's the sunnah. You actually get rewarded for saying, I don't know. So while this sounds nice here in the masjid, you might say, but akhi, sometimes I'm outside and it's a non-Muslim, and if I say to him, I don't know, and he turns around and says to me, well, what sort of a Muslim doesn't know? Very easily. I'm an honest Muslim who says, I don't know, when I don't know. It's not difficult. Give me your question. I'll go to someone who has knowledge. I'll come back with the answer, and both of us will learn. Why is this embarrassing? So, you know, when it comes to da'wah, speak. Encourage others to speak. Whatever little you know about your deen. I mean, imagine the Prophet of Allah says, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. The criteria is one ayah. If anyone knows one ayah, you are now obliged to speak about it. How many of you here know Surah Al-Fatiha? Malesh, just raise your hand. I know it's a very... So that's seven ayat, you know. The Prophet of Allah says, if it's one, then you know seven. You are now obliged to go and talk about your deen. So that's one thing. And then for the brothers that do get involved in da'wah, it starts off very nice and full of energy. And then, of course, you get faced with challenges. And I think one of the really important things is to be steadfast. Many of us get caught up with numbers. We start talking, how many people have you converted? How many people have you reverted? How many people have you brought back to the masjid? If you find yourself falling into this conversation, know that you're in a very, very dangerous place. Because you giving da'wah is not about numbers. Da'wah is an obligation upon you. And just because you're giving da'wah and no one is coming to deen, no one is accepting Islam, or no one is coming to the masjid with you, that doesn't mean that you are failing. We get caught up with numbers sometimes. And yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's very nice when you give da'wah and the person accepts and he nods his head, gives you a shahada, or he comes back with you to the masjid. That's very nice. It makes you feel very good. But the truth is, we should do it regardless whether they accept or they don't accept. And these are some of the tricky things that we face. And many Muslims, we either tend to forget or we fail to understand that hidayah is not in our hands. These are principles we have to understand. You cannot guide anyone. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes I see brothers, they get very frustrated. Akhi, what's wrong with this guy? I came to him, I spoke the haqq, I gave him dalil. Every hadith was in Bukhari, and I mentioned ayat of Quran, and he still refuses. It's not about your dalil. It's not about how talented you are in speech. Hidayah is from Allah. The Prophet of Allah couldn't guide his own uncle. Are you better than the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is your speech going to be better than his? He couldn't guide his own uncle. Imagine how painful that was. And this really hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And imagine he's you know, he comes to his uncle's dying. And this is, you know, subhanAllah, man, when it comes to da'wah, there's so many things that we can learn from the seerah. Many of us tend to look at anyone that's a non-Muslim is bad and evil and is a kafir and is just going straight to Jahannam. Khalas, it's become sides. You're either with us or you're against us. What's this attitude? This attitude isn't the attitude of a da'i. And this wasn't the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of the greatest supporters of deen. One of the greatest backbones of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a non-Muslim, his uncle. Biggest supporters. What Abu Talib did for deen, excuse me, Malish, I would challenge most Muslims today if they're ready to do what he did for Islam, even though he himself was a non-Muslim. So what I'm saying is sometimes you will come across very, you know, most people are good-natured. Not everyone is evil. Not everyone hates you. So let's get this mentality out of our, he's not a Muslim, he's a kafir going straight to Jahannam. That I can't benefit from him. No, you're a da'i. You're a da'i. And a da'i should always be open. And you never know where there's khair. So going back, hidayah is not in our hands. Hidayah is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah guides whom He wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can misguide whomever He wants. Imagine the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to his uncle, you know, really try to sort of live this, you know. Imagine he's your uncle. He supported you so much. His family. You're a prophet of Allah. You know the reality of Jahannam. You know. And he's begging his uncle. He says, my uncle, please, I'm begging you. Just whisper in my ear. And you don't even have to make it public. Just say something in my ear. Give me something. And I'll do the rest on the day of judgment. I'll do the rest. And his uncle refused. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hidayah is not in your hands. We guide whom we want. And this sometimes it's very, I mean, I know now it sounds very nice. But these are the things that we need to remind ourselves. We do da'wah because that's our job. But hidayah, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, has nothing to do with you and I. Don't get caught up in this dalil and of course, yani these, you know, I believe you should always use sahih. Always use that which is authentic. Always use that which is strong. Always use that which has a base. But don't think that this is going to win people's hearts. The only thing that does for me is that it gives them the correct picture of Islam. Do you know what I mean? That it displays the right, you know, it gives them a solid foundation to base or to judge. But Hidayah is not in our hands. Remind yourself that. And never ever forget, my brother and my sister, anyone that's involved in da'wah, sometimes we get onto deen and alhamdulillah, you know, we've been in deen for a couple of years and things are going well. And maybe you're quite good with your mouth and some people look up to you in the community. Whatever the case is, don't let that get to your ego, man. Never forget that there was a time when you were misguided. Who guided us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us. And I think when it comes to da'wah, this is a very important element. We come to people and we're so insisting on pointing out their wrongs. Insisting on telling him that this is the way it is. And this is very painful sometimes. Because maybe now, alhamdulillah, we're on deen so we can understand a little bit. But don't you forget that there was a time when you weren't listening. I remember for me, there was a time when people used to knock on my door. Muslims, they used to knock on my door. They had beads and thobes. I slept in the door, Ya Allah, what are these guys doing here, man? I wasn't interested. I wanted nothing to do with deen. But who guided me? Allah. Now when I come to talk to people, it's always be humble. Don't forget where you were. And when you're faced with someone who's very arrogant and is just, use that as a moment to thank Allah. That, Ya Allah, I thank you for guiding me. I thank you for not giving me that sort of mentality. Always be humble when it comes to your da'wah. Some other things are that, you know, when we give da'wah, we sort of always want to highlight people's mistakes. You know, the brother, you don't pray, so you're going to Jahannam. Well, yeah, in theory, you're right. In reality, that doesn't work. Most people, when you highlight their mistakes, they naturally get on the defense. As soon as you come to point something out that's wrong in me, and you know what? Let me be honest with you. Religious people are the worst when it comes to this. We say that no, that please, if you see a mistake in me, akhi, please come and tell me, give me the nasiha and that. We say this to act humble, but in truth, when someone comes to give you a nasiha and comes to tell you that, brother, look, I think you're making a mistake, who's he to come talk to me? I'm ahead that he grew his beard yesterday. Now he wants to come teach me about my deen. Where was this guy last week? Did he forget when I knocked on his door? Did he forget when I pulled him out of the clubs? So we make it out like, you know, so when you give nasiha, don't point out people's mistakes. Try to encourage people. You know, for me, when it comes to da'wah, I have this theory that it's all about the heart. A da'i, a good da'i, is a doctor of the heart. That what do I need to do to win his heart? When you win someone's heart, you can get him to do anything. But if I don't win his heart, doesn't matter what you say and what you do, there's very little chance of winning that person over. Very, very, very little chance. I'll give you like some examples of things that happened with me. So say for myself, back home in Sydney, I get a lot of brothers that come to me. Alhamdulillah, in our area, there's some, sometimes it can get pretty rough. So there's a lot of drug dealers and there's a lot of people that are just, you know, on the wrong side of the law and just on the wrong side of life in general. And sometimes this drug dealer will have a brother. All right? And from my experience, in most cases, your family will never accept your da'wah. That's just a... This is just a quick one off the bat. You could be the greatest da'i in the world. You could be the greatest alim in the world. I believe a son can never give da'wah to his dad. For me, that's just adab. It just doesn't... Yani, alhamdulillah, like, I won't rule it out completely, but overall, generally speaking. And for me, till this day, whenever I come to say something to my dad, like, haki. Look at me. He spoke, haka badri, you know what I mean? Like, antansit halaka. So this is, you know, so for me, when it comes to my mum and dad, you are the mashayikh, you are the ulama, antu ala aini wa rasi wallahi. And you know, I believe that the da'wah to mum and dad is usually with akhlaq, manners, and a lot of dua at night, really. You know, never ever oppose your dad. Never. SubhanAllah, now that we're speaking about this. And this is what tends to happen. And many of us tend to lose sight. You know, I was sharing this funny story with the brothers that we had this brother back home who, and this tends to become common. That a young brother who would be, you know, lost or whatever you like, and then he comes on to deen. And you know, when he first come on to deen, there's this beautiful taste. So you find that many of us, within a very short time, he can go from spiky hair, clubbing, smoking girls, to shaved hair, little beard, abaya thawb, in the masjid, in a very short time. And that's a good thing, like there's no harm in that. But what tends to happen is that this brother gets so caught up in his deen, now when he goes back home to mum and dad, all he can see at home is the mistakes. Right? This is haram, this is kufr, this is a bid'ah, you people are lost, this family is misguided, I can't live here anymore. This is not da'wah, man. Da'wah is adab and akhlaq and wisdom, what to say, when to say, how to say it, who to say it to, you know. So we had this one young brother who every time he came home, you know, just rips into his father, you know. Look at you, you're clean shaven with a moustache, you're doing exactly the opposite of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You claim to be a Muslim, this is disgusting, I can't live in this. He was a young kid, I think he was maybe about 17 years old, you know. Anything his father did, he would highlight it. You know, and the father like, fahm ba, Scott, ihtiram halak, you know, so just stuff like this. I'm a ma'adi fahm, bro. Rakab person, that's it, you know. So one day he came home, and his father had his friends over, and you know, like for the Arab, smoking cigarettes and they were playing cards, you know. What's this? Smoking cigarettes? This is haram? You people are lost? Yani, fool, completely lost adab, you know. So his father is tachnita, sure. His father goes into the room, he goes, come, you know, so, come into the room. So he came into the room, wallah, his father ballash nas. Yaratni rabbat kalbu ma rabbaita. So this kid, you know, when he got smashed and fell down to the floor and the father's beating into him, he looks up, says to him, Ahadun, Ahad, Ahadun, Ahad, Ahad, you know. Fakar halu bilali, you know. His father's, that's why you think I'm Abu Jahl. So we need to sort of have some sort of, you know, there really needs to be some sort of wisdom, you know. I think especially when it comes to our parents, you know, and for me it's very important that you remind yourself very quickly where you were, you know. Most of us were lost, not praying, not fasting, no deen in our lives. When you get onto deen, you should be a means to empower people. But really what tends to happen is we end up turning people off. Why? Because this transition of coming onto deen, in most cases, is very quick. And let me be honest with you, most people that get onto deen very, very quickly, they usually end up falling out. Because deen has a way, like it has this, it has a sunnah, it has a tarbiyah. And those that just want to go straight to the top very quickly, and Allahu A'lam, in my experience, very few I've seen hang on. Most people end up falling off, even if it's after 3-4 years, you know. So deen has a way. Deen is about akhlaq and manners and wisdom and winning people's hearts. So again, going back to what I was saying, that so back home in Sydney, I'll get lots of people who come to me, brother, please, you have to come speak to my brother.
He's a big time drug dealer, and I tell him everything he's doing is haram. He doesn't listen to me. He always brings girls home, and this, you know, and the whole list of things. So the brother, he tries to, you know, encourage me and pump me up and tell me about how wicked and how evil his brother is, and how, you know, so come on, brother, please, you know, let me take you to my house. He doesn't listen to me, but if you go, mashallah, you're going to rip into him and he's going to listen to. So I tell him, well, relax. Anyway, so the guy will come, pick me up, take me to his brother's house. And I'm only sharing this with you, wallahi, I'm not boasting or saying that I'm just sharing what I feel works. Now, I know exactly what's happening. His brother's heard everything you've got to say. And his brother's already going to think he comes a tall, fat bloke with a big beard and abaya who thinks he's a sheikh and is going to give me, you know. So I already know that that's what he's thinking. So I'll come in, and of course his brother brought me. So I know he's already on the defense. So I'll come in, I'll spend an hour there. And in the whole hour, I won't mention Allah or His Prophet or Deen, not even once. His younger brother, he's on fire, he's looking at me thinking, why did I bring you here? Yeah, but that's exactly why I'm not doing it. So I'll sit there and I'll talk and I'll joke and we'll laugh and I'll talk to him about cars, I'll talk to him about girls, I'll talk to him about, you know, whatever it is, to win his heart. And he's thinking these guys, they hate, that these guys hate life, they hate having fun. That's how most people think. Most people think that once you grow a beard, then you start praying in the masjid. Khalas, that this person doesn't know how to fun. And you need to break that barrier. No, I do know how to have fun, and I know how to joke, and I know what you think about, and I know what you love. Because there was a time I used to think that, and like that, and love that too. So what usually happens is, this guy in the back of his mind is thinking, okay, I know this hubless guy, everyone talks to me about him, he's going to talk to me about Allah, Allah, it's coming, he's trying to win me over. And I'll sit there for an hour and we'll have such a good time and a laugh and a joke. And just when, khalas, I know he's ready for it, I'll tell him, all right, brother, man, you know, forgive me, akhi, I've been here long enough, I've really got to go. Inshallah, maybe next time we can catch up. Allah, he's thinking, what? No, I was just enjoying the visit. Let's talk. I tell him, nah, man, I've got to go. And I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, you know how that ends up? The brother, can I come see you? Can you come visit me again? Can you? Now he's ready for deen. Now he's ready to listen. He may not act, but now he's ready to listen that the lifestyle he's living is not the best. It's about wisdom. That's da'wah. It's about winning people's hearts. It's not always about pointing out their mistakes and telling him that he's got. Yeah, sometimes that does work. In a certain time, in a certain environment, depending on your influence, it may work. But generally speaking, it doesn't work. Win people's hearts. You win the heart, he'll do whatever you want. You don't win his heart, you don't win his trust, you won't get anything out of him. And that's the thing, you know, when it comes to da'wah, many of us, we give da'wah because it's a job, it's a responsibility, because it's, you know, al-amr bil ma'roof wa nahi an al-munkar. Obligation, deen, that is what I got to do. Again, people are not foolish. By Allah, my brothers, I'm telling you the truth. People know when you're speaking to them, if it's coming from the heart or if it's just an image, it's just the front. It's just to show people that look at me, I'm out on the street, that I'm busy in da'wah, that I don't care, I say it the way it is. People know the difference. And if da'wah is not coming from the heart, you know, when the person feels that this person, he's really speaking to me because he cares. He's really worried about me. He really doesn't want me to go to hellfire. He really wants me to have a better life. When people feel that you are really genuine and sincere, trust me, what comes from the heart always enters the heart. It enters the heart. So again, always remind yourself, why am I talking to this brother? And this sort of comes across in the way we talk. You know, with me, when it's like a one-on-one da'wah, I prefer this sort of style. And it's not complete, but I mean, I prefer this sort of style. I always prefer to say that, look, alhamdulillah, there used to be a time when I wasn't praying. And he doesn't pray. He knows he doesn't pray. And he knows that you know that he doesn't pray. I don't need to highlight it. I don't need to tell him, brother, you don't pray. What I do most of the times, and alhamdulillah, like it tends to work for me, is I tell him, look, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, I grew up, I wasn't really the best of people, and I grew up most of my life and I didn't pray. And you know, I tried this and I tried that and I went here and I went there. And automatically now he feels what? Connection. He feels relation. That, yeah, hang on, I'm on that road. And you know, akhi, you know, alhamdulillah, through no action of my own, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sort of guided me. And alhamdulillah, you know, like I started praying a few years ago. And you know, I noticed that once I started praying, I really started to feel a change in my life. I really started to feel that I have a Lord. I really started to feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and things really changed in my life. Automatically, by you saying that, what's he thinking? He's thinking, man, I gotta start this salah thing. You know, so sometimes I feel indirect da'wah is more direct than what you think. And again, you know, be a doctor of the heart. What we lack as Muslims in general, especially as da'is, is wisdom. And wisdom is what? What to say, when to say it, how to say it, and to whom to say it to. Sometimes you could have perfect dalil, 100% authentic, but you giving it to the wrong individual, you can cause more damage than good. And this will come in time, naturally. And that's why it's important, any da'i, in fact, any Muslim, period, needs to have connection to mashayikh. Needs to have connection to those that are senior in age. This concept of, we don't need mashayikh, and who cares about what the ulama said, and who cares about, this is, you know, you're already on the path to failure. Now we do need them. Wisdom. You can always learn. And that's a believer. Believers always learning. Even from a kafir. You know, for myself, even if I'm with a non-Muslim, I always look for something in him that I can take home. I'm sure there's something that he's doing that is good that I can take. It's not always about giving. We also want to take. Some other things that also tend to happen is when we give da'wah, we're always calling for something. And this happens a lot. That I'm calling you to my masjid. I'm calling you to my sheikh. I'm calling you to our jama'ah. I'm calling you to our fikr. I'm calling you to our books. This is disastrous. No, brother, no. He has to be... Yahi, what he has to be is not in your hands. Our job is to guide. And that's why I always say, whenever you speak to anyone, anyone, Muslim or non-Muslim, whenever you speak to anyone and you want to give this person da'wah, connect this person to Allah. Connect them to Allah. Don't connect them to your masjid. Sometimes people say, brother, listen to this speaker. He's amazing. Listen to him and only him. And this is the... Yes, while it's a good thing, and I'm not doubting that maybe this guy may be a great speaker and really... But that's not my job. This speaker cannot cater to all my needs. Connect them to Allah. When you connect them to Allah, you solved all their problems.
And that's the problem. Sometimes I'm connecting you to my masjid. I'm connecting you to Salah. Salah is a good thing, yes or no? You know, you're connecting him. No. Connect him to Allah through the Salah. Connect him to Allah through your masjid. I don't have a problem with that. Connect him to Allah through this speaker or that speaker. I don't have a problem. But we always connect people to who? To Allah. If we connect him to Allah, we've solved all their problems. And that's why you find, you know, that sometimes people say, yeah, you know what, alhamdulillah, I gave this guy da'wah, he started coming to our masjid for 3 months, now he's left our masjid, he's gone somewhere else. And the brother gets upset. Tab, why are you upset? Why are you upset? Who were you connecting him to your masjid? Or were you connecting him to Allah? And that's important. My masjid will not be there forever. My jama'ah will not be there forever. My imam, my great speaker will not be there forever. But Allah will always be there. Connect people to Allah. And that's something that's extremely important. Some other things that tend to happen is the masjid, for me, is the hospital. It's a hospital. And not everyone in the hospital is sick. Today, unfortunately, our masjids have become, really, let me be honest, our masjids have become clubs. And I don't mean a club where there's dancing and music, no. But it's a club for me and the boys and the people that think like me and pray like me and act like me and talk like me. That's what my masjid's become now. You don't find the masjid has any more tolerance anymore. And the truth is, my brothers, you know, nothing hurts me more. Nothing hurts me more when the, you know, when people stand up and they suck money from a community for a masjid. And they promise you the heavens and the earth. And yes, this masjid is going to be different. And we're here to serve the people and give for the sake of Allah. And he who builds a house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mashallah, we all become scholars. Anything and everything I can do to take the money from the people. Then when I take their money and I open the masjid, it becomes a club for me and my boys. And that's why you look around. Most of our masjids are failing. Most of them. Sometimes you walk into a masjid, honestly, I don't know what it is anymore. Is this a house of Allah? Or is this a prison? Is this the yard in the prison? It's all about me and my crew. Every masjid is dominated by a race. It's either a Lebanese masjid, it's an African masjid, it's a Moroccan masjid, it's a Pakistani masjid, and there's always the 2-3 masakin who just happen to be different. But they're alright because they don't have a chance anyway. No one's allowed to give adhan. It's the same adhan for the last 50 years. He says the adhan wrong, but that's just how it is here. And we claim, hey, it's the house of No. We love everyone. Do you really love everyone, akhi? Because it doesn't feel that way in your masjid. Maybe it feels that way amongst you and your friends. But go to someone who's a little bit different and ask him for some genuine feedback. And this for me hurts. Because the masjid is the house of Allah. And this we have to understand. The masjid is not your house. It is not your property. It doesn't belong to you. It's Allah's house. And every single person, this is going to shock some of you, every single person that walks through those doors, Muslim, Sunni, not Sunni, whatever you want, Christian, Jew, atheist, Shi'i, Alawi, Tabuli, I don't care what he is. I don't care who and what he is. Any human being that walks through those doors, He's not your guest. He's Allah's guest. This is Allah's house. And it is your job. The people of the masjid, Ahl al-Masjid, to honor the guest of Allah as best as you can and make them feel comfortable and welcomed. When he goes to your house, tell him, Ba'a, he's a Shi'i, he's a Alawi, he's going to Jahannam. I don't care what you tell him. That's your business. That's your house. He's your guest. Do as you please. But when he walks through those doors, he's Allah's guest. And you don't feel that anymore. Today, as soon as someone walks in, we judge. Who's? We wait for him to pray. Wait. Don't shoot him yet. Just wait. What are you waiting for? Wallah. And you know, brothers, really, you know, this is why our da'wah fails. We'll wait until he prays. Tab, what are you waiting for? Let's be honest. Wait. If he puts his hands up, if they go down, if he put his hands to the side, إِنَّ لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّ إِلَّهِ رَاجِعُونَ بَلَا فَجَّأْ مَذَاهِبْ مَتَلِّبَاءَ إِمَامْ مَالِكُ وَإِمَامْ أَحْمَدُ مَتَلِّبَاءَ بَرَا 100% he's one of them. If he's clean shaven, who's going to talk to him first? Yani again, we need to remember, is he your guest? He's Allah's guest. He's Allah's guest. You know, I'm yet to walk into a masjid where you really find that mahabbah. That you know what, that everyone's welcome here, man. And yeah, of course, I'm not saying that anyone can get up and give a fiqh class in the masjid. No, of course, Ahl al-Masjid have a right and a responsibility to make sure that what they teach is correct and that it's authentic. Yes. But as far as the audience and who walks in and who walks out, it's none of your business. Our job is to serve these people. These are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what hurts me the most is that now young da'is who really in truth, they know very little of their deen. And that doesn't faze me. They mashallah, young brothers who have a lot of energy, and I love that, and that they're busy in da'wah, and that's fine. But they get caught up. All we tend to talk about now is politics and differences and this person and that person. Really, Anna, I just want to ask, what benefit are these conversations? I want anyone here to be sincere. Just be sincere. Who here sat down in a conversation of politics or differences or madhahib or this? Whoever sat in any of these conversations and walked away feeling an increase in iman? Never. You always walk away confused, stressed, worried. So why do you get caught up in it? Leave these conversations for those people who have the, you know, who are in that authority. Don't get caught up in these things. Our job should be to bring hearts together. So going back to the masjid, that the masjid is the house of Allah, and the masjid for me is the hospital. Anyone and everyone is welcomed in the hospital. This is where people come to get cured. So yeah, if he's on the wrong aqidah, then come, ahl wa sahla. This is the place where inshallah ta'ala, bi-idhnillah, you'll be guided. If he comes in and he doesn't know what day it is, he doesn't know how to pray, come, ya akhi, come, ahl wa sahla. He's a non-Muslim. Come. Please come. Ahla wa sahla. This is the place. Bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Maybe you'll have guidance. It's the hospital. And again, not everyone in the hospital is sick. Not everyone in the hospital is sick. In the hospital, you have doctors. In the hospital, you have visitors, guests. Those that are coming to visit the sick. In the hospital, you've got nurses. In the hospital, you have what? You have an ambulance. Where's the ambulance of the masjid? Where? Where's the ambulances of our masjids? Where are they? Where are those young shabab who come to the masjid? They get together. Brother, who are you going to visit today? Who are you going to go visit today? Who are you going to go visit today? How many Muslims do we know who don't come to the masjid? So who's going to go visit them? Where's the ambulance that's going to go to their houses and pick them up and come and bring them back to the hospital? Where? Where? There's no ambulances in our masjids anymore. And let me tell you something. If you think this is da'wah, this is not da'wah. Giving nice talks, having mashallah, nice following. This isn't da'wah. I don't believe this is da'wah. This is cheating. You know what I call this? This is champagne da'wah. Celebrity status. Shall I come? I take off my coat. I put my coat up. I sit on the nice table. Look, there's lights and a camera. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam. You think this is da'wah? You brothers came to see me anyway. This is an effort. Da'wah is going to those people who don't want deen. Da'wah is going to the guy who clearly tells you, I don't want to pray. That's real da'wah. This isn't da'wah. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying this isn't da'wah at all, but you can't compare the two. Anyway, there's so many things I want to mention, but just lastly, that because this is very important for every single day, that yes, while getting involved in da'wah is good, and you know, helping people and all this stuff is good, I find that wherever I go, a lot of da'is tend to forget themselves, man. Never forget yourself, akhi. How much deen is really in your life? You could be the greatest da'i in the world, I don't doubt you. But how much deen is there really in your life? You know, like, I get invited by a lot of masajid, organizations, charities. Like, I get invited by lots of... And I'm telling you, generally speaking, wherever I go around the world, wallahi, it makes me want to cry, man. The people that are supposed to be the face of deen, I'm telling you, presidents of masjids, presidents, the boards, those that run the masjid, in most cases, for me, this is a compliment. For most cases, they're clean shaven, suits and ties, and they're never in the mosque. But they're the ones that run the masjid. So I get invited by these organizations, and then what I tend to find is, people invite me, and we're all so keen, yeah, we're going to have a big talk, and we've been advertising for months, we're expecting 1,000 people. Yeah, well, that's nice. But I noticed that the guy that's driving me around, the brothers that have organized, there's no deen in his life at all. He barely prays. So we need to not forget ourselves. Calling people to Allah is a beautiful thing, but what about yourself? How much salah in the masjid is in your life? And be honest. How much Quran is in your own life? How much fear of Allah is really in your own life? How much charity do you really give? How much charity do you really give? Everyone, mashallah, I'm telling you, give me a camera, I can give you the best talk in the world. But then when the camera turns off, you know, in your own life, where's your dhikr? Where's your tasbih? One of the things that kills me, and this is a confession, I'm openly confessing. I travel the world, but I fail to visit my own uncles and my own aunties that are back home in Sydney. I can jump on a plane for 30 hours. Took me 30 hours to get from Sydney to London. 30 hours. I'm away from my wife and my kids, no problems. But to go visit my uncle who lives 10, 15 minutes away from me, feels like a mountain. Yeah, but that's deen. That's deen. So what I tend to find is that a lot of us da'is, you find that deen is lacking in our own lives. You know, like fasting. just very, very, very quickly. How many of us are fasting? For us, fasting is only in the month of Ramadan. But what about Mondays and Thursdays? What about Mondays and Thursdays? The Prophet of Allah, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever fasts one day, nafal, sunnah fasting, whoever fasts one day for the sake of Allah, Allah will remove his face from Jahannam a distance of 70 years. You guys, Maghrib is at 3:40. How easy is that? How many of us fast? So I think just in short, you know, don't forget yourself. Don't forget your own deen. Don't forget your own ibadah. Worry about others, but also worry about yourself and make sure that you yourself are implementing that which you speak of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Thank you very much for having me here. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.